Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams.
And the name of our show is?
What Do I Do Now? Your Guide to Credit, Debt, and Planning for Financial Success.
Brought to you by 103.7 The Beat. All right, Chauncey. So before we get started, there are a few things we need to cover. How was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was great. The Big Reds won the football game. Got a chance to relax and kick back and do some things, but that was great watching those guys and hearing it on the radio that Saturday.
Yeah, I actually attended the game, and it was really an awesome event. You know, a lot of fans. Give them on the show his credit for the way they handled the crowd. I think they did an excellent job from parking to how folks got out of the stadium. It was just a really great event. And, of course, the sweetest part about it was the Big Reds won another football game.
Yeah, won another football game. Against a good program. Against a good program.
That's Oh, yes. Shores, they showed up. It was a close game throughout, and it was decided in the last few minutes. And it's sort of like the last couple of weeks we've seen this in college football. But we didn't have the fiasco that they've had with the referees making bonehead calls. In my opinion, this was one of the most well-refed games that I've been to in a long time. They let the kids play.
It was like the fewest penalties called.
Yeah.
Play. Yeah.
I mean, I think we may have had one, maybe two games past. We've had too many. And it was very delightful to see a well-officiated football game from both sides. So, Big Reds moving on. Muskegon Catholic Central moving on. So this weekend we got more high school football for the county of Muskegon.
Well, that's a good thing. Hope we get down and get to that Ford Field and have our city show out and come out and support.
Yeah, that would be a great event if this all plays out. Catholic would play at 10 o'clock in the morning, and Muskegon would play right behind them at 1 o'clock. So everybody from Muskegon could attend one session and see both teams.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. All right, so let's get down to business today. What have you got on your topics of discussion today, Chauncey?
I don't know what had me thinking about it. I was just riding through the community and looking at things and thinking about it's Christmas time coming around, holiday season.
Yes.
And just seeing like those cash advance places and payday loan places and, things like that, and just seeing how they have a lot of traffic.
Yes, they do.
And concerning and just seeing that based on the history of those places, they charge a lot of interest.
They do. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to do any research on these locations, but if you have, let's have a discussion about these payday loan or these cash advance locations and what impact they can really have on an economic situation for an individual.
For the audience, I had pulled some research information on payday loans. I'm just going to just read some stuff and information that I have. A payday loan is like a very short-term, high-interest loan made by check cashing companies. Some financing companies and businesses that do nothing but make payday loans. They get this loan, you write a personal check to the lender for the amount of money that you want to borrow, but plus the amount of the lender's fee. And usually the percentage of the loan amount is a set amount for every $150 that you borrow. And you can agree to repay the loan on your next paycheck. The lender pays you the amount, the check less the fee, but does not cash your check. So it's like I look at it like being a loan shark, like a legal loan shark.
Yes, it is.
So it's a serious situation. I can remember far as back as 2001, I got one of those loans. That's the last loan I got.
Okay.
From a payday loan play. I learned a very valuable lesson because it seems like it's something that's feasible that you can possibly pay, but you find yourself in a week by week bind and a spiral of paying somebody more money than what you thought you was going to pay in the first place.
Yeah, because you still have to pay the fees. Every time you renew that loan, the fees increase, and so does the credit. I had seen some information, Chuckley pay as much as 400% interest on an annual basis on some of these payday loans.
Yes.
That's incredible.
And it's even get to the point, like when I said earlier, like you can ride around and see the cash advance places and payday loans, but then they have web-based things you can go through emails that they send you. A lot of times it's in your trash mail, but they have those loans, and I've seen as high as 1,000%.
So what's the criteria to get a loan? I mean, if you go to the bank, we know what that's about. You know,
yes.
Your credit application, you know, you got to prove employment, things like that. Got any idea what these payday loan places require?
I know from my experience and seeing, I know a couple of years ago they had a lawsuit out on those companies. And the way the procedure went was if they have access to your checking account.
Okay.
And what they would do is they would possibly charge your checking account a dollar or something to see if you have it. And then you would do a promissory like agreement or a promissory note where they'll send you so many documents. Because I researched it. Because after I got that one in 2001, I was like, what's this? So I started seeing the online cash advances and looking at the interest rates they was charging. I'm like, somebody going to pay actually 300% or 400% to borrow $500?
They probably don't understand what they're getting into.
So what they would do is, and I researched it, what they would do is they'll send you a contract. And the contract has so many pages. And
okay.
Then you have to sign off each page. And then the last page has your final amount that you pay. And woo, from what I've seen and from like online videos and just seen in the past, it's a mess. I mean, it's people that's getting those loans and say, oh, I just need $500 to cover this. You are better off letting your bank account overdraft and go and talk to your bank and saying, can we work something out instead of getting one of those loans offline and going one of those places? Because if you find yourself in a vicious cycle of having to pay them back, you find yourself in dire straits trying to say, okay, I'm going to pay this loan and I can do it. It's all a setup. And it seemed like they target specific areas. It's certain areas that our people that live in this demographic of this radio station, you find payday places and cash advance places in those areas for some odd reason.
I'd have to agree. Same kind of with the liquor store phenomenon.
That's it. It's like they target people that they know that, okay, well, they might not have enough savings. And they probably just got a job. They're just not getting on their feet. They got a car. They got a cell phone bill. They got a family. But then they say, okay, well, I'm going to go here and borrow this money this one week. And then there's so many pieces of paper that you got to sign. You got to look at what you signed in the end. Like, oh, I only borrowed $500. But then they say, all right, at the end, the interest is 349%.
On an annualized basis. So if you don't pay them off completely, then that interest continues to compound into the next month. Or the next cycle that you signed up for.
I think usually you can do them like in 2 weeks, monthly. If you don't pay it all off, that interest is going to sit right on that dollar amount that you currently have.
Along with the fees that they charge. I was reading where I think it was like on $100 advance, you'd probably pay $15 to $20. That's just the fees. That's not the interest on it. And it says for 2 week loans, those rates translate to an annual percentage rate of 398%.
So if somebody borrows $500, okay, and they borrow it every 2 weeks, they borrow the $500, and it's all right, well, in 2 weeks, I'm not going to have the $500. I'll just pay $100. What that's going to do?
Can't do it. That loan has just ballooned into another set of fees and interest rates. It is an extremely serious situation for people, I think, that have gotten into these payday loans. And I do know some states have banned these payday loan stores.
I've seen actual lawsuits where they were going around and they were trying to compensate people. But you know how when you have a lawsuit out, they got to pay out so many millions and it ended up like being $50 or something for somebody and the money they didn't.
So who makes out? Who makes out on the lawsuit? For the payday loans, the lawyers.
That's okay. It. From the settlement. The settlement would be so large, but then there's so many people that's been victimized.
Right. They get theirs off the top.
It just looks like legalized loan sharking to me. That's what I look at it as. I'm like, audience, don't go into those places. Leave those places alone.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, I know the one I got, I got it when I didn't really need whatever I needed. I was just trying to have some fun and do something. I said, all right, I'll get this extra couple $100. And it was like almost 14 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday because at the end I said, oh, I had that money. That'd be nothing.
Right.
okay. Walk right into the trap. And I said, I would never walk into that trap again. And I look at it to this day. I'm like, I'd rather have my bank account go overdraft and talk to my bank instead of getting a payday loan or going on and getting to those online places. And they set you up. In the emails, they come just like, oh, you can get $1,000.
Okay.
It's just as easy as giving us your checking account number. Just call. It takes 5 minutes. You don't even have to call. Just go and put your email address in, your bank account, your route number, and the money will be in your account in 48 hours.
That's scary, man.
$1,000. And you're like, oh, I got $1,000. No, you don't. At 300%, you're going to be paying about $3,000.
Yeah, and especially if you do, which a lot of people do, is have their checks direct deposited, right?
Yep.
And when that happens, these guys probably the first in line
to get their money.
So any subsequent bills you have pending, when they get there, they're going to bounce. So now you got more fees from other banks or institutions that you bank with. So, I never really had an opportunity to use the service. But based on some of the research, I don't think I want to.
Yeah. And I also just like looking at the payday loans, I was just looking at other kind of loans that probably would be in our area, but probably in other areas that people can look out for. And basically just basically saying that leave these loans alone.
Right.
And they are advanced fee loans. And it's just as the name is implies, like advance. I'm going to give you an advance on some money that you possibly going to get, but I'm going to charge you a fee on it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can remember back years ago, some employers would actually give advances to employees.
For paydays.
Oh, yeah.
For their check.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if that's still a practice, but before you walk into a payday loan, I would walk to the human resources office and ask that question.
Yeah. So that's one loan. The second one that I've noticed that you got to stay away from, it's a finance company loan. I'm not going to mention no company's names, but like furniture, electronics, stuff that appreciate very fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, depreciate very fast. Stay away from those loans. Going in and say, oh, you can get this $3,000 furniture set with no interest for 2 years. As long as you pay it off before 2 years, you good. So then about the 2 years, your furniture is not going to be worth no $3,000 anymore. Is it worth it?
And so what happens if you don't pay it off in the 2 years and there's still a residual balance on the furniture or electronics? I'm assuming they go back to the original date.
That's right, when you got the loan. When you got the credit card.
And apply the interest that would have been paid through the life of that
year. And like you said, that's APR. And then with those places, the interest is high. You're talking about 27, 17, 19.
Wow.
Percent.
That's incredible. People can go to the mob and get better rates.
You're right. Another one I seen, I don't think it's too prevalent in Michigan, is a pawn shop loan. I know that, but you can take things to the pawn shop and say, like, can you hold this for me? And then you come back and buy it later. But I haven't seen too many of those situations in our state. The next one that I try to tell people stay away from, they're so excited to get it, is that tax refund loan.
That's exactly what it is.
Tax refund loan. They think that, oh, I got my money. But then that paperwork come back wrong. Who got to pay that? If you say, like, if I get a hypothetical situation, if I'm going to get a tax return for $1,500 or $5,000 on average, you hear some people say they get $5,000. I'm getting $5,000 back. They go in and say, all right, let me get my money up front. And they charge you. And then
there's fees.
You get a $5,000 loan, but then your income tax return come back. They say you only gonna get $3,500.
So sounds like you got a difference to make up.
Because a lot of times I know you'll see somebody either spend it or either do something on the wrong thing. Because if you need an advance on your income tax, you need another word, and that's called budget. And I brought it in with me today. The income tax is supposed to be able to help your future, not something that you're supposed to spend. It's actually your own money.
And yeah, it is.
It's a loan that you're giving the government.
It is. I think we had a brief discussion about that a couple of sessions back, but you're absolutely right. If you allow the government to take a good portion of your weekly earnings in hopes of getting it back at tax return time, you basically are giving the government an interest-free loan.
So then basically somebody want to get an advance on their income tax, they could have been working the government, their whole self, the whole year by just doing some investments and retirement planning or savings with that extra money they're expecting.
Yeah.
And sitting down with their accountant or something, just going through their exemptions and saying, oh, I can claim this and do it legally. Mm-hmm. And you can look back and say, oh, I saved this much money instead of the government taking my money.
Yep.
I know, like, in our school, like, I work as an educator, we could save as much as $18,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So just imagine, just by putting that extra money there, that's going to help me in the future if I can save up to that much. But if I expect a big tax refund, that's actually like a ripoff for myself. If I can save during the year versus during the year.
You're right. Put that money into that investment account, and at the end of the tax year, what you want to do is break even. You want to, when you get your taxes done, if you've done it right, you want to break even, because you've used your earnings to invest it, and now you have potentially to have more money than you would have had by giving it to the government, because you're able to collect interest and appreciation on your money.
Okay. The next one I found, and you had mentioned it when we were on our way in here today, the car title loan.
Right.
I didn't too much know about that. I was just like, how can somebody get a car title loan? Like, if I own my car, I own it, and it's getting financed.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a loan on it?
You can get a loan. And it's a lot of them are tied to pawn shops, but you don't see it as prevalent in Michigan as you do in some of the southern states. And what I found out is that the state law, state statute says that if you perform a title loan on a car, you can only collect 3% interest, okay, plus a $1 per month usage fee. So if you think about the numbers that we've talked about earlier around the kind of interest these guys are getting out of these payday loans, 3% is not an attractive number for you to be, you know, giving out $1,000 and hoping to get, like, you know, $30 back when they pay the loan off. But there has been proposed changes in that law to increase that percentage up to 20%, which, again, is going to become another predatory type of a lending process. But right now the legislators aren't budging. They're going to stay with this 3%, because an example was that if an individual took the short-term loan on this new proposal, the car is worth $1,000, and this loan stretched out for a year, he would actually pay in the course of the year $2,070 over a year for a $1,000 loan.
So it'd be double. So that's like almost a 50%.
Right. Now, that's 100% almost. Yep, 100%. That's totally predatory. And I'm glad that the legislators, you know, realize that consumers have enough problems with financial institutions without allowing pawn companies to start being able to take these titles from people and charge them this, you know, another excessive amount of interest for these loans. But, you actually keep the car, but you don't own it anymore. So, you know, the pawn shop can still sell your car with that title. He just got to get possession of it. But like I said, it's not as prevalent in Michigan as it is in other states. And I'm sure if they don't pass this law, that 3% won't be attractive to predators anyway.
Mm. So the loans that we covered today, the advances were the advance fee loan, where you, like, exactly that, when you get an advance on some money that you got coming in. The finance company loan, those furniture places, buying washing machines on credit. Things like that. I don't want to mention no company names.
No, we won't
furniture,
do that.
You know, buying $5,000 worth of furniture and financing it is not a good thing. You better off just buying piece by piece and being able to say, I own my furniture, mm-hmm. instead of sitting on something that you don't own yet. The payday loan that we talked about, those payday places, when you ride and you see check cashing and they say they can get you an advance, or you get an email, don't leave it alone. Do not answer the email. Do not stop by that place. Like I said, you better off talking to your bank or the company that you owe the money to and see if they give you a chance to build and say you need some financial help. Next one was, you mentioned that one, it was the pawn shop loan. Then we talked about the tax refund loan and just the car title loan. Just trying to give the audience a recap. But when I was looking over this information, I say all this can be avoided if you can get your own personal spending plan. And something I have that within my on my website, What Do I Do Now.biz is a book that I it's a book that I wrote. That inside of the book, we have a package where it's a personal spending plan. So I was sitting down because December getting ready to come, and then Christmas time, even though we plan early, I was going through my budget, and I took a screenshot of the picture. And some people say I need that. I'm like, well, it's on that website. But just going through it, I'm looking at it, and just the things that I put on it was like, let's go through it right now. Buses, subways, car insurance, cell phone. I don't even have children. I put child support on there.
Oh yeah.
Clothes, because I know that people have that. Contributions, debt repayments, electricity, money. I put entertainment on there. Fast food, gas, water, groceries, house supplies, house furnishings, laundry, the credit card that you have, your medical, miscellaneous things, parking, personal care, rent, mortgage, restaurant, snacks, your student loan payment, telephone, any other credit cards you have. And it's just something I have. It's in a 4-week type of process. And I just, it's something I use. It's something I live by religiously. And it just helps me look at my money before I even get it. So I know where it's going, how it's being saved, even when it's being set up.
Right. Absolutely. That's great. Because I'm thinking about some of the items you listed. Some of them are a fixed item. All right. It says regardless of what you do on a monthly basis.
That's coming out.
These numbers are going to be there. Okay. Such as your, you know, your insurance, your mortgage, utilities, things like that. As long as you're living in a house or apartment, whatever, those bills are going to be there. So those are fixed. There's many on here that are
that fluctuate.
Yeah, they're variable. So those are the ones that you really need to pay close attention to, as far as reducing your exposure to the variable cost. So you got to break that bad boy down into two parts, and you know, like you look at, for instance, restaurants is one that's a variable cost.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen like every day.
You don't
day.
Have to go.
You don't have to
it's
go.
It's a nice thing to do. Okay, I missed this one here. Medical, you need to take care of your medical bills, because now they can become part of your credit.
Oh yeah, record. They are. They lower your credit score. I get clients that call me all the time and say they got medical bills.
Yeah, they used
all the time.
Used to didn't have that. Groceries, that's a fixed cost. You got to eat. You got one on fast food, another variable cost. Gas, water, electricity, these are fixed cost. So like I say, you look at what areas that you can really try to move the needle, and most of those are in the variable cost.
Yep. So, some things I wrote down, I was thinking about, I say, like a lot of times people look at budgets as bad things, but then you can see that certain things happen. You have, life happens,
right.
Problems come in. Right. And some of the things that I've listed, I saw that you could overlook the living expense or a debt when you developed your budget. Like you said, you have the fixed costs and you have the variables. So you probably could overlook something and overspend something in a situation and put you in a situation where you needed to pay their loan. And you're like, well, but a lot of times you can call the people that you owe and say, let's work out let's stretch the payment for me.
Right.
Can I pay this and pay this later?
Yep.
Especially if you've been doing a good job. The second thing was your budget isn't realistic. A lot of times people don't only list like the fixed things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm paying all my bills, but then when they go hang out, it's like, oh, they spend an extra $200 doing this, but they didn't budget that. They didn't put that in their checkbook. So that's the next part.
There's not, no slot on there for mad money.
Yeah. You got to have that mad money. I carry my mad money on me.
Okay.
My wife said, how you able to live off $50 a whole week? I was like, I fill my car up.
Okay.
And that's what I do. Yeah. And I'm going to eat at home.
No splurge.
I'm going to eat with my students at lunch so I can build peer relationships, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. That $50 is going to last the whole week. And because I'm not going to do other things unless it's like a business opportunity or something where I can calculate that risk. Another one is that people don't take into account is your family did not try hard enough to live according to your budget. Your family. You can be disciplined, but the person you with can be undisciplined. So it's like you got to form those habits and behaviors that were both of you like, look, now, you told me you're only going to spend $50. So how does this extra money get spent? Somebody go on a shopping spree, So it's just.
Like you're the CEO of the house, right?
Yeah.
So everybody reports to you. And when it's out of whack, They got to have a good reason why.
We got to have me. Right. We got to budget me. We got to have this covenant.
Every organization have them.
That's right. You were hit with an unexpected expense that month. Auto. You got to buy some tires.
It happens.
You got to get a tune-up. You got to get an oil change. Or something just happened. You know, mm-hmm. just life just happened. So, and always, research says it's always good to try to have 2 to 3 months of surplus income if you can.
An emergency fund.
You can build that up. That's a great thing. Some of your expenses increase for reasons beyond your control. Like you mentioned last week when we had our show, got in a car accident and you were at fault, and then your insurance couldn't cover everything.
It's unexpected.
Unexpected cost. And then the one thing that we don't wish on nobody, your income drops.
Okay.
And then you try to live on that same budget with your mad money and everything the same. I call that putting your fronts up.
Okay.
You know, don't put your fronts up. Make sure that you can consider that your income has dropped. Because I've been in that situation before, and I'm like, my income is in a different place. I need to look at my budget again and adjust my lifestyle
to where it can fit.
You know, so we're just coming from my father said, come straight from the shooter, tell the truth. Be honest with yourself, have the courage to change your plan, have the right attitude, and build it back.
Yeah, it's always going to be a possibility of too much month at the end of the money. All right. And if you don't make the necessary adjustments to balance it out, you know, then you're going to be looking at these payday loans.
And that's not the answer, though.
It's not the answer. That's what people do. That's why these places are making money.
Jim Rome talks about this. I just love the motivational speakers. They talk about having good discipline in your finances.
Mm-hmm.
He say, picture yourself going in a boat and you have some oars and you rowing this boat, right? It's a rowboat, you know, you rowing. And you got your family in the boat with you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you row so long and the tide just take you. So you're like, I'm good. And you throw the oars out. I look at the oars as your budget.
Ooh.
So you get so far upstream and you're like, I'm good. I'm navigating. I got it under control. Then all of a sudden you get so far and it's inevitable.
Change.
It's called being inevitable. And the current takes you. And then you see, like in those movies, the waterfall.
Right.
And you're like, it's up there.
It's coming.
It's coming. And you're like, let me get a payday loan to try to stop. Let me get this one oar that can try to take this wave that I'm trying to control.
Mm-hmm.
Going down this tide. And you can't do that. It doesn't work.
Invariably, it will not work.
So I just look at those situations like that. When you get a payday loan, that means you done got so far ahead of yourself that you need to break everything down, sit down with a financial planner or somebody, restructure your finances,
mm-hmm.
and look in and say, okay, this is how I got to do things differently. I can't do like this. I don't want to be up the creek.
Without a paddle.
I don't want to be up there.
Without a paddle. That's an old saying, but you nailed it. You nailed it, Chauncey.
Yep, you don't want to be like that because that's a rough time and that's a rough situation. I don't wish that on nobody because you can act like you're living with the Joneses, but then pretty soon you'll see and you'll look and like you don't want to be there.
Mm-mm. No, because the Joneses will probably move and you'll be stuck in debt up to your neck. Yeah. So, but that's good information. Good information, Chauncey. And, you know, I just hope our listeners kind of take heed to what we're talking about here. It's a lot of information, and again, I don't think it's something you can do with a snap of a finger. You have to really be committed. You have to sit down as an individual, the wife, family, whatever, and say, hey, this is how we're going to run things from this point forward, you know, and involve the family in that process, because what you're doing is you're teaching your kids the same skills that you want them to have when they do leave home, to understand how to budget their money and don't let them make the mistakes that you did.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. Just looking at that, sitting down, I look at it as sitting down with your whole team.
Okay.
And when I say team, I mean, like, if you have these people in your network, like my banker, I got a personal relationship with them.
Okay.
When I go in the bank, they talk about how I'm supposed to treat my wife, my banker does, and what kind of relationship we and her have about money. And we have our conversations because I'm trying to build my business and she's helping me promote that business, but at the same time she wants to know what goes on in my personal life to see, mm-hmm. because I look at it as your money. You want, like, your, like people say, they go to their pastor for stuff. You got your banker, you got your accountant, you got your life insurance person that holds your agent, and you have your pastor. You have those people. They need to know, and your lawyer. Mm-hmm. Those people need to know the relationship that you have with money, and you need to let them know. You need to disclose what you're currently going through, the hurts and the problems you having. So when the road bumps come up, They like, oh, okay, you mentioned that. And well, we helped you get through that. We helped you move through that situation that was rough. Okay. So it's just always good. I've always been like that with those people in my life. And I've seen myself dodge some of those situations and build in spite of having some crisis or being laid off or my income being changed. Those people was there for me. They was like, oh, I know that's going on in your life. We'll work some things out. I'll call some people and help you because I was more open. So mm-hmm. And that just helps for me. So just being more intimate with the people that's involved and treating money. It's cold, hard cash, but it's also is warm and soft. Okay. And treat it like it's your friend.
Right, because it can be your friend and your worst enemy.
That's it.
Okay, because if you have a lack of it, it's not good.
You're right.
Oh, what else we got? Anything else we got on our agenda today, Chauncey?
I think that's it. If people are they're interested about that budget, it's on my website. whatdoidonow.biz. You can check it out. Go there and see about some tools and just see. It's a tool I use when I had to restructure my life when I was unemployed and I got a job again. And then currently, like my wife, she helps me. So our income is really like one income and business income. So mm-hmm. I have to strategically look at everything I have. So everything is not peaches and cream on my side, but I'm building something. And it's like raising a child when you raise a business.
Yeah. It's all a process, though. It's all a process. Every business or successful business, it started at some point. It just didn't come out of out of thin air. But thoughtful processes, commitment, due diligence to your belief and your dreams, and good things will happen.
Yep.
But they won't happen by osmosis.
Yep. Setting goals.
Setting goals.
Setting goals and trying to achieve those goals. And even if you don't make the goal all the way, you set it. And when you set it, you had some percentage of success in it.
But
if you don't have no goals and you don't set them, it's like throwing some darts at a bullseye that you can't even see.
Right.
You don't even know what direction he's throwing. So do I throw left? Do I throw right? Do I throw up? Do I throw down? Where do I throw? So
right.
It gives you direction. So, yeah, so I think the audience, check us out 3:00 on Saturdays. We're here. Chauncey Williams.
Tony Williams.
What Do I Do Now? Your plan to financial success and debt and planning.
And again, we like to thank 103.7 The Beat for allowing us to share our expertise with the community about financial planning.